Falls Today, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the world. And welcome to 2023. Happy New Year, everyone. And good morning and Happy New Year to my great friend, Ann Wooten Taylor. Hey, Ann.
Hey, Happy New Year, my friend. How are you?
Doing quite well, quite well. Boy, this is the first time I've seen you this year.
I know. It's like, wow.
Wow. So we've got a lot. I know you've got a lot to talk about. And tomorrow we have a lot to talk about. Returning on the Boomerang Radio Show, we have the investigator from, former investigator from San Bernardino Sheriff's Department, Mr. Mike Ward, and also Sergeant Kennard Moffitt from the Los Angeles Police Department, along with you and Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims. It's going to be a fun show. And Brother Tisdale.
Yeah, it is going to be awesome. How was your holiday season?
It was pretty good. Pretty good. It was pretty terrific.
Really?
Yeah,
so you had a good time. I know this is like your first holiday with, well, I guess your second, because last year's when you moved. So, but this time it was different because you weren't, you know, tracking stuff down, probably in a bad mood, bringing a whole holiday spirit to grinding halt.
I wasn't cramped. This year I wasn't cramped in a hotel for a month.
Right.
Oh boy.
So did your grandson have fun decorating the place? Cause I bet you were like,
no, didn't decorate anything. So I didn't have to take anything down.
See, I knew it. I knew you weren't gonna do a thing. That's why I said your grandson. Did he do it?
No.
I know you. Your grandson spoiled you, hasn't he?
Yeah.
See.
And there's nothing wrong with that. No, I went to everybody. I went to everyone else's house and ate up all their food, and you know, drove around, saw Christmas lights and things like that. So.
That sounds so right. Yeah. I'm not surprised at all, but I'm glad you had a great holiday season. Cause I know last year it was rough.
It was a little rough. It was a little rough.
Yeah.
But thank God everything is good. Everything is good. Yeah, so you have, now you have an interesting guest on today, huh?
I do. She is, and this is actually, believe it or not, going to be my very first time speaking with her one-on-one, but she is such a kind lady. And let me tell you how I know that. She has been my mother's donor, for, I guess it's been like 2 years now, maybe three. I know it started during the pandemic. And she just, you know, contacted the daycare where my mother goes while I'm at work and said she wanted to be a blessing to one of the residents there. And since, you know, the people who come on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she lives with me, but she goes during the day. And my mom was the person who'd been there the longest. So they chose her. And I mean, like clockwork, Mrs. Jackie Parker just blesses my mom. And when I say blesses, oh my gosh, she buys my mama clothes. she does all kinds of stuff. And it was a blessing out of blue. Like, you know, adult diapers, stuff that when you are a caregiver, you're used to having to deal with on your own. And it's like, somebody knows, you know, somebody understands, about this. And so it's me and my sister, you know, and so we kind of share the gifts. Mama gives, okay, mama needs this at Lisa's house. She needs this in my house. And it's just wonderful. So anyway, we are thankful to be a blessing back to Mrs. Parker because she's written a book called Where is Wilma? And we're going to be talking about her book today. So I'm just glad to, you know, be able to do something kind in return.
Great. Well, I'm going to step aside and enjoy the broadcast.
Well, thank you, William. So now I can talk to the guests. Y'all know William has to get in like the first 2-3 minutes.
See, I've been nice.
I'm teasing you.
Yeah,
I'm
you teasing always you. Do. I'll take care of you later. All right.
All right. Hey, everybody. Happy New Year to you. And thank you so much for being with us today. We hope you had a blessed holiday season. And we wish you a blessed and prosperous new year this year. You guys, had a long break from us. And so we hope you enjoyed it, but we also hope that you're welcome, that you're ready to get back into the swing of things because we have got an awesome lineup for you in 2023 already. beginning with our first guest. But before we get to our guest, I want to go ahead and give you your weekly motivation. You know, it's that thing we do to encourage you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, to inspire you to get up and try again if you've, you know, had a rough time sticking with it. And if you haven't been able to find a way to get motivated to get healthy and fit through Christ, we want to motivate you today. And since this is the season where people make resolutions, today's motivation is entitled Resolve to Change. As you know, the beginning of the new year is the beginning of the year is traditionally when people want to make these big, often long overdue changes in their lives. However, most resolutions are scrapped within a few days of the new year. So what's the secret to making a new year's resolution and sticking with it? Romans 12:2 says, be changed by the renewing of your mind, and you will know the perfect will of God. In other words, change always starts within us. That means we have to first choose to do something different. Unfortunately, human beings often change their minds again and revert to their old habits. This is probably the way it's been for you in terms of weight loss and eating disorders up to this point. You make up your mind, or rather you resolve, to start a new diet and exercise regimen or refrain from disordered eating. But your resolution falters shortly after you begin, if you ever truly get started at all. God's word says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you're honest with yourself, you can admit this is true in terms of your weight loss efforts and your entanglement with eating disorders. Not only do you constantly change your mind about starting a new diet or going to inpatient treatment for an eating disorder, but you also vacillate between sticking with the plan, following the advice of your therapist, giving in to your cravings to eat unhealthy foods, and making excuses not to exercise. The instability is further evident by the excess weight you carry, changes in how you view yourself, how you relate to other people, and how your health is or eventually will be affected. Nevertheless, God can and will provide the stability you need in this area of your life when you change your mind and adopt his perspective of your issue with weight and eating disorders. The choice is yours as to whether or not you trust God and obey his will. Jesus said, he who loves me obeys my commands. When you read and obey his word as it pertains to the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God, you discover his good and pleasing will for your life in regard to food and beverages. Then you have the right to ask for the Holy Spirit's empowerment to succeed where you previously and repeatedly failed in the past. That is a request God can honor, because seeking him and his righteousness first in all things proves you now have the correct motivation for losing weight and being free of eating disorders. In other words, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it best, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. If you're ready to finally win the weight loss and eating disorder war through Christ by resolving to do it God's way, then purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles regarding the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Don't forget to read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ. Follow us daily on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest for recipes and diet and exercise tips. And tune in to our syndicated radio show, which is now on iTunes, Spotify, as well as the DFW Den radio station, Studio W Buzz, and Victory KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, don't forget to make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody, that's your motivation for today. We hope and pray it encourages you to stay the course. if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspires you to get up and try again if you fell down somewhere along the way, and that it motivates you to get healthy and fit through Christ, especially if you've been faltering on those resolutions that you made so far this year. All right? All right. Thank you so much for joining us in the new year. To our guest, Mrs. Jackie Parker, it is such a pleasure to see that beautiful face of yours for the first time. How are you, lady?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to see your beautiful face for the first time.
Oh, thank you. That is so kind. I want everybody, you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, I'm Jackie Parker. Mm-hmm. I've been married for 40 years.
Wow, that's a blessing. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. I had 9 children, 6 boys and 3 girls.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Look at you. You are a superwoman. Wow.
But, congratulations. When you were talking about the Lord, I thought, yes, sir, because if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't have done all that.
Amen.
But, I always said, Lord, if you give it to me to do, I figured I could do it.
Amen.
But I ended up having, I got 18 grandchildren.
Wow.
And I just had a son to get married over the holidays, so.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations on all regards. You are a blessed woman.
I thank the Lord for it. I'm a retired bus driver, so I guess he figured if I was going to deal with kids, he'd just give me some. I don't know.
Amen. So my mom has 12 brothers and sisters, 5 infancy. So I think my grandmother was pregnant like 18 or 20. Well, no, she was pregnant either, was it 20 times? Anyway, 13 of them survived infancy.
Oh, wow. Well, my husband come from a family of 12.
Yes. And so I thought I wanted to be you for a little while. I thought I wanted 10, and then common sense kicked in, praise Jesus. It's like, woo!
Well, Lauren, you better be careful what you ask for.
Right. But it's just it's such a blessing, having a huge family, because we always had such a good time together. I mean, there were cousins around, there were babies around, uncles and aunts.
Yeah.
It's just, truly a blessing. The downside of that is you have so many people to love, which means you also have people to lose.
Yes.
And so, my mother's, my grandparents are gone, their brothers and sisters, also, we've been losing them. And now, my mom's generation, losing them, and even, young people in the younger generation have died. And my generation have died over the years. Silly stuff a lot of the time, tragic stuff sometimes, a lot of the time, but still, it's the more people you have to love, the more your heart can break too. And I think that's what your book is about. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my book is about my mother-in-law. She came to live with us, and she had Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And when she first came, it wasn't bad. We got along. Mm-hmm. She's been sweet and everything. But as time went on, oh, boy.
I know. Yeah, talk about it, sister.
You know. Okay. As time went on, you think, okay, we're making a change here. And it was rough. At first, it was rough. And I really didn't know how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. So I started praying, and I asked the Lord to show me how to take care of my mother-in-law, because she deserved the best. She had 12 children.
Wow.
And she was a wonderful mother-in-law, mm-hmm. and I definitely wanted to give her my best. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord showed me how to do things differently from what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Because one thing I found, you can't go neck to neck with them.
No, ma'am. Oh, my gosh.
As they proceed into that disease, you can't go neck to neck with them. Mm-hmm. So I was going neck to neck, but I was losing.
Mm-hmm. Because it's hard. It's, they may, forget what happened a few minutes later. But it's still sticking with you.
And that's why the book came about, Where is Wilma? Because it took me a while to realize, wait a minute, this is not my mother-in-law.
Right. Right.
This is the disease. So I have to come about it a whole nother way. Mm-hmm. So one day, me and my mother-in-law was getting ready to take a bath and a shower, and you know how that can get rough.
Mm-hmm.
And so that day, I mean, we was battling, buddy. We was going to that. We were going to take a shower.
Right.
And she was like, oh, no, we ain't.
Right. I mean, and don't let them get to gripping the stuff. And you're like, I don't want you to fall and break your heel.
What's up? If they grab that doorknob, you might as well just take her on back because she ain't going in.
Right.
But we were going in and struggling. I told her one day, I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book about you and what you do. I said, I'm going to write about what you're doing and how you carrying on. And you know what she told me? She said, looked at me right in the face, and she said, you go right ahead.
Oh, wow, that's a blessing. Those moments of clarity. Precious moments of clarity.
And so after she passed, I ended up writing about the times that we had and how things started, but how they ended is what was more important. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I got to say, it's good to know that I'm not the only person who had a rough time. I feel like the worst person on the planet because it's just really difficult. And people don't realize the caregivers are going through it too. No, it's not your body that's being attacked, but your mind, your emotions, and it is physically draining.
Yes.
On top of all of that, you know.
Yeah. It's really hard if you're on the outside working and then you have to come home and work.
Exactly.
Because taking care of them is a job. It's work.
Even if you have, you know, some temporary help, you know, like her going to daycare during the day, it's helpful. But, you know, when she comes home, I thank God for my husband and the boys, but there are just certain things they cannot do, you know, for mom.
Right. You know, You still on call and you don't really relax and go to bed until everybody's in the bed.
Right. And you make a whole lot of sacrifices too.
Yes. You have a lot to give up.
Yes.
And you have a lot to set to the side until you get your job done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you really do. It is a sacrifice.
So, you know, let's just be, you know, brutally honest about it, the way you've been. Because, I mean, when you are the one that's ultimately responsible, don't get me wrong, it's a blessing to have other people to help. I thank God for a wonderful sister who does, you know, all she can to help with my mom. Like, my mom is with her now for the weekend. And, you know, and when she can't, she's just distraught. Like, my mom was in the hospital, which, you know, in December, and she had coronavirus. And so it, you know, Lisa wanted to come to the hospital. I'm like, no, you can't come. She's in here. She's, you know, she's got it. I don't know if I'm infected. And then they brought in a roommate and that lady had it too. I'm like, I need somebody to be 100% in case I get sick and I can't do what I need to do. It was really hard because she wanted to, you know, to be there. But then they're flipping the script. I know so many people, met so many people who just have to do it all on their own because they don't have
help,
support. And so, you know, let's just be brutally honest about it. From your perspective, you know, what was it like, you know, being the person that was responsible, you know, for Miss Wilma, day in and day out. And did you have, you know, what you needed in terms of support, in terms of, you know,
well, you know, it, I can't say it was easy, but it was easy because I had previously, before she came, I took care of my father-in-law. We took care of him until he passed. Cause for some reason, everybody wants to come to my house.
That's because of who you are. That, I think that's what that is. It's a sign of who you are.
Yeah. And my father-in-law was like, I want to go to Kenny's house. That's my husband. That's his son. So we brought him here and we kept him and took him home. And that following weekend, he passed. And then my parents, I took care of my parents. We moved our mom here. I got sisters here. I got three sisters and we moved my mom here. And since I was retired, she lived with my oldest sister. Everybody would go to work and I would take care of my mother. Mm-hmm. And then when they get off, they would get them. Mm-hmm. But then my mother passed, my father passed. So I had all of that in front of me.
Here come
my mother-in-law, and this was a whole nother ball game.
Wow.
Because taking care of them was cancer, but taking care of her was Alzheimer's. And that was a whole nother ball game. Mm-hmm. And my husband works every day. And it was times, like you said, be honest. It was times I'm like, this is your mama too.
Right. I mean, exactly.
You know, I'm like, okay, can you go get that? And he would look like, well, I worked all day. Me too.
Right.
So
with your mama.
Decided,
I
used to tell him.
All of that.
I used to tell him, yours is physical, mine is mental. You need to. Right. You got to get in here. And so me and him had to get together on that. And he ended up just wonderful. He was great. And sometimes she would let him deal with her and not me.
And that's the thing, you know, is my mom, initially, she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Come to find out, she has something called normal pressure hydrocephalus, where she has this buildup of spinal fluid on her brain. And now she has a shunt in her head, and it's constantly draining. But it affects her cognitively the same way, you know, Alzheimer's affects people. And oh my gosh, it's like she, you know, she may not be able to always get it out, but it's like she knows you are my daughter and I can get away with stuff with you. I just, other folks. Now, Miss Ruthie, you know, which is the daycare, we care adult daycare. She loves Miss Ruthie. And I mean, the stuff that's a 2 or 3 person job that me and Lisa like struggle with, she just let Miss Ruthie do it. I remember I went and Miss Ruthie said that she done mom's hair and all this. I was like, she let you wash her hair? And mama started pulling me towards the door. I'm like, oh no, sister girl, we gonna have this conversation. Because you know that's a fight to do anything to your hair, but Ruthie has become the hairdresser. She can do whatever she wants to mama's hair, and she can paint mama's nails. Mama don't want me to touch her nails, not her fingernails. Oh my gosh, we won't even talk about fighting over the feet.
I already know. I know.
Yes.
My mother-in-law, she would want my husband to take care of her. And I'm like, okay, so I've been with you all day.
Right.
Half of the night. And now you want him to put you to bed.
And that can hurt. People don't realize, my mom, she was just a family oriented person. Her best friends were all family members. Just the way it was. And so, you know, in the beginning, she would get mad at me and I'm calling my brothers. I'm like, I dare you. Call them. You want me to dial the number? Call them. Let's see what happens.
See, that's where you got to learn how to change your mind. In my book, I said you got to learn how to go with the flow. Because when my mother-in-law is trying to go to bed, I want Kenny to put me to bed. I was like, no problem. Let me go get him. You know, I learned how to just go with the flow and he'd go on back there and I'd go in the room and do what I need to do. Yes. I learned how to, because for caregivers, we can get so into our job that when someone else can step in to help, we don't know how to accept that help because we're so used to doing it.
Right. And, you know, you talked about praying and I remember praying and like, okay, Jesus, I know why you did not let me go into the medical field. I guess I just don't have the best bedside manner. I guess I just, you know, I'm like, you know, but you told me to do this. So, how do I do it? And it's gotten a whole lot better than it used to be, but you know, one of the things is patience. The people from the outside looking in would always say, you know, the kind things like, you are so good with your mom and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, thank you, because I'm feeling guilty all the time.
All the time. You always second guess yourself. You know?
Right.
I wish I had none. I would have, should have. But through praying, the Lord just let me know you're okay.
Mm-hmm,
you're on a new job.
Amen. Amen.
You don't know nothing about this job.
Right.
But
right.
As you go through it, I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna bring you through. Kind of like serving Christ. We mess up all the time.
Right.
But we
right.
go back and ask Christ to forgive us, and we just start all over.
Amen. Amen.
And that's how we have to do, even with them, because you're gonna feel bad. I felt bad just going to the store and getting a Coke.
You know, or taking a. I love to take long hot baths, you know, and my husband would be like, baby, you want to go take a bath? Yes.
Yeah.
and I feel guilty because I went in there so long, I took a nap and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know, and then at the same time, like, okay, I got to take her to the bathroom. I got to do this. And I'm like, okay, I did all of this before I got in the tub. So yeah. I know she should be all right. You know, she got something to eat. She got a little something to play with and all this stuff. She should be okay.
But it's so crazy. It's crazy because even at that, when you're in the tub, you still can't relax because your mind is constantly, you're on guard. You're listening.
Right.
What did I hear? But so you still ain't totally relaxed.
But you know, what I found is, you know, I know it's a hard situation, but, you know, one of the gifts my dad gave me is, you know, I inherited from him genetically, I believe, is just laughing.
And yes.
We would find joy and laughter in, you know, everything. And so I, you know, people may think it's crass, I don't know, but sometimes you have to laugh otherwise you cry all the time.
You'll be crying all the time.
My dad, you know, before he died, he took on the task of taking care of my grandfather, who my dad didn't even meet until he was an adult. But he moved my grandfather from Kentucky, put him in a nursing home, you know, close to where my parents live. And he took care of my grandfather, you know, visiting him and all that stuff until my grandfather died. But at the nursing home he was in, my grandfather's roommate was a family friend. And I mean, my mother grew up in the country, so their neighbors are like, we literally call a lot of them cousins because, and some of them, you know, we've had people intermarry with. So we are related to a lot of them. But my grandfather ended up rooming with Mr. Brooks. And Mr. Brooks, even though he was, he turned 100 years old a few years back, but he was older, but he's still cognitively there. And he noticed his things were coming up missing. Cause you know, my grandfather had Alzheimer's and stuff. You know how they take stuff. They think everything is theirs and all
that.
Yes. And Mr. Brooks, you know, he was a farmer who knew how to take care of his property. So he set a trap for my granddaddy and he didn't go to sleep that night. He was just waiting to see who was going to get it. And my granddaddy got up and he took something to Mr. Brooks and Mr. Brooks beat him down in the nursing home. And my parents told me that story. I hollered and daddy laughed. We were cracking up. And mom and my sister were like, what is wrong with you? That is not funny. We're like, y'all know if this was a sitcom on TV, you would be laughing. You would be dying. But I mean, you have to kind of see the humor and stuff. And even with mom, she has a bed monitor, you know, for her bed because she would get up in the middle of the night and in 2020 after she was hospitalized for a kidney failure, she was getting out of bed falling and it was horrible. So we got our bed monitor. And so she recently, I was like, I need some new batteries for this thing because it's not working. And I thought I had to buy a new one because the new batteries didn't work. I went and changed her sheets. Come to find out she had moved the monitor to the other side of the bed that she doesn't sleep on. And I mean, it was perfectly straight. I'm like, this was not an accident. just woke it up and get into some stuff without getting caught.
Wow.
So for me, that, you know, that's the way that I cope with stuff. And I know you mentioned patience.
Yes.
Was that your coping mechanism? Did you use laughter? How did you, you know, how did you make it through the hard times?
I laughed a lot. Mm-hmm. I overlooked a lot. Mm-hmm. I stopped taking so much seriously, mm-hmm. you know, because after a while you can take everything so seriously. Mm-hmm. And I just stopped doing that.
Right.
And that helped a whole lot. And I put on a lot of patience. Like one scripture, it says, be slow to speak and quick to hear.
Amen.
I'd be slow to make a move and I'd just watch her. And then I would just take it from there because I'd have to turn. Because if I got upset, then she would automatically pick up on it like that. Mm. And she'd come back at me, buddy. She'd be ready to. So.
I know, right? My mom, whenever she's in the hospital, the people there learn real quick, fast, in a hurry. She's little, but she is so strong. And yeah, and she can fight.
Yeah.
And she may not be able to find the words in the right order, but the look on her face lets you know you are on shaky ground.
You are walking on Death Valley.
Right.
Girl, one time my mother-in-law, we was going at it, buddy, and she grabbed my wrist.
Yes.
I knew I was in trouble, girl, because she grabbed me like a grown man.
Yes.
I said, oh, Lord. I said, okay, listen. I said, listen, Mom.
Right.
You gonna hurt my arm? She said, I'll snap it.
I have been pushed. I have been hit. Most recently, I have been pinched in my back. I mean, Mama just ducked. I'm like, Mama.
Girl.
You know, I used, and, you know, when she was more able to communicate effectively, I used to be like, okay, you get violent, I'm gonna put you in a nursing home because I'm not going to be dealing with this.
Girl, I had been spanked so many times. I thought
yes.
I was back 5 years. I thought I was 5 years old all over.
Right.
Cause every time I would bend down to put her tire shoes.
Yes.
And she didn't want to. Bam, bam, bam. She was spanking me.
I mean, and they know, you know, and then, and the funny thing is I have younger sons. So she's been with us in August. It'll be 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So my oldest son, I guess he was about 7 when she came to live with us. So it's, you know, it's been really difficult because in a way that in a very real sense, they've been robbed of a grandmother.
Yeah.
The grandmother that they should have had.
Yes.
But another thing, I'll be like, y'all, you know, watch her for me for a second. She knows. It's like, you are a child. You can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And it's totally, I mean, even now when she can't communicate as effectively as she used to, she'll still every now and then they'll do something. She'll sponsor, sit down, you know, shut up or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Too much noise. And so you mentioned speaking to them with soft answers.
Yes.
Is that something that you were always able to do? Because in the beginning, it was really, really difficult. When you don't know what's going on. Because my mom was very, very young, you know, when this started. I mean, she's only 7. This started before my dad died. And he, in July, it'll be 10 years that he was dead. Nobody understood, you know, what was happening. With her at the time because she was so young. She got diagnosed with so many different things. You know, anemia, vitamin B12 deficiency. I mean, just all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Because she was my grandmother's caregiver. And then she had power of attorney for one of her special needs siblings. You know, and like I said, you have a big family, so you have a lot of people to lose. And so many people were dying. And then, I think just that year that my dad died, one of my grandmother's brothers died in either January or February. Another sister died in April. My grandmother died around Memorial Day.
Wow.
And then 6 weeks later, my dad died.
Wow.
And it was like,
that's a lot.
That was a lot. And that was just that year, the year before more people had died. And so it was like, she just kind of had all she could take. And she just, you know, she came to live with us, you know, after dad died. And I think at that point she just maybe surrendered to what was happening, you know, because of the grief. And so it, you know, you don't know exactly what it is. You know, we thought it was grief. So she's, you know, therapist, you know, she's a neurologist. It took years, for them to even properly diagnose her. Because they didn't, nobody knew. She was so young, you know, at the time. No, nobody really knew.
Yeah.
What was happening. And so you go through these changes. It's, you know, she's from that generation where she didn't like doctors. And so just.
Oh, yeah.
Her to go to a doctor for a test, especially if it was at a hospital, like she would stop, you know, she could still talk, who in the hospital? Yeah. Nobody's in the hospital, mama. You gotta go in here. I ain't sick. Yeah. And I'm like, lady, if you don't get out of this car, cause I'm missing work. And I mean, there was a period for me where it was like anger, you know, it's like, I am here fighting with you. If you don't give up, I promise you, I will not give up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I know you've taken care of four people. I cannot imagine having gone through it so many different times. Did you have those periods where you just, you weren't patient, where you couldn't say kind words, where you just mad because, sometimes?
yeah. But see, you know, one thing I realize is we still in flesh. We're in our flesh and our flesh has emotions.
Yes.
You know, we get upset and angry and everything too. But that's where that prayer come in at, and the patience. Mm-hmm. And when the Lord start dealing with you and he'll show you, okay, this is how you have to do this. Mm-hmm. Because I just look at it as another, you know how we say trials and tribulations?
Right.
When those hard things come, you know, we can't go neck to neck in our emotions.
Amen.
When those hard things come for us, we got to go a higher level. We got to get spiritual on them.
Amen.
And I remember telling my mother-in-law, oh yeah, I know what to do for you. I'm finna go spiritual on you.
Amen.
I told her one time, cause you ain't gonna make me go to jail.
Right. But you mentioned the, you know, soft answers, and telling them, I love you a lot. I know, that is one of the things that my mom, it always would catch me off guard, that you know that she can understand. And then when she can get it out, you know, saying, repeating back, finding her words and putting them together and being able to effectively communicate, it's always a beautiful moment. Like, you know, I'll put her to bed and I'll say, I love you, mom. And she go, I love you too. You know, and it's like, I know you understand. And then you can communicate that back to me. And then there'd be other times where I'd say, I love you. And she can't find the words and she'd just say, thank you. You know, and it's still a beautiful thing. But when you say, you know, say, I love you, when you say soft answers, you know, for those who haven't gone through this or who may just be getting, you know, their feet wet in this for the first time, what do you mean by that? What did you find was different about giving them a soft answer, telling them I love you, then letting their flesh take over when they take you there.
yeah, when they take you to that spot, that's why you constantly gotta always pray. But I learned when, like I said, you can't go neck to neck with them when they're so far in the disease.
Right.
Because you give a hard answer, they don't give one.
Exactly.
You say two words, well, she had three.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that thing just kept going and going. But what I learned is to just calm down, have patience, watch her. And when I saw that she was upset, everything came out of her mouth was going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
I had to bag up and be ready to give something soft.
Right.
And so when she would, well, I ain't going to do this. And I'd be like, oh, well, okay. Well, maybe we can try it later on. Mm-hmm. And I found out that made her stop being hard because she realized that I wasn't going to be hard back, or I wasn't going to give her back a hard answer. But now don't get me wrong.
It's hard to do that.
At first it would be like, okay, just the way we finna talk.
In the beginning, it's like
in the beginning, it is all a learning and it is, you have to learn because you've never been here before. It's kind of like when you got married. You didn't know nothing about being a wife.
Right.
You had to learn that. And it's the same thing with Alzheimer's. You have to learn that. And that's where I think it comes. You feel bad too, because man, I said that so hard, but it's okay because you're learning your way, because she's learning her way. She don't know nothing about the way she's acting and why.
Exactly. And, you know, it's just giving, you know, truth to life to the Bible again. The Bible makes it clear, a kind word turns away wrath.
It turns away, and I have to, you have to go back to it. It's a song that we sing. Whatever you need, it's in the word.
Amen.
Everything
Amen.
You need is in there. So I Amen. Learned about the soft answer, and I learned how to start telling her, I love you, Mom. Because you gotta remember, they going through something that they probably feel like they're all by themselves, even though you're with them every day.
Exactly. And that's the thing, you know, I watched my mom know that something was wrong, want to deny it because you know that, and I'm about to go there, y'all. I've been there. I've done said it before, when we talk to people about, illnesses, you know, on our health and fitness show. I love my Christian brothers and sisters, but I think sometimes we get stuff wrong, you know, so that naming it and claiming it thing, it's one thing, you know, to speak something negative into your life, because yes, I agree. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue, but I also, you know, kept reading beyond that and saw when Jesus was healing people, he asked, what do you want me to do for you?
Yeah,
and they had to confess that there was a problem. And so, you know, that denial, you know, that built in, you know, churchiness, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Where you come to believe this, we'll say thing that isn't necessarily true. And then it's like, okay, Mom, there is an issue and we have to deal with it. So they obviously don't know what it is. I'm telling them that is not what you think it is. It may, from your perspective, be that.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people in my family deal with that disorder. I'm telling you, this is not it. So I'm fighting with the doctors. And she, you know, she's like, ain't nothing wrong with me, period. And I'm like, I need you to help me, you know, to the point where she could. And that, then, you know, when she couldn't help anymore, and it, you know, it was just me against them. It's hard, but it's even harder on her because she knew, you could see it, and it was scary for her. You know, she had anxiety. I mean, you know, depression, a whole lot of different stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And when a person is depressed, sometimes it comes out as anger. Sometimes, they have a lot of those anxious moments. So, even though you're going through it, you have to take into account what this is doing to them too. What do you say to those people?
Who
are like, I just want them to sit down and be quiet and, you know, and take care of them, you know, to the best of their ability so that I can do what I need to for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really realize it. They're going through something internally. They may not be able to communicate that to you.
Right. But you know, one thing I had said, and I wrote it down, you have to remember they had a life too.
Right.
You have to remember that. At one time, they knew how to think, walk, and talk, and go to work like you.
Mm-hmm.
But now their world is turned upside down and they're not doing that. They're just as confused and lost.
Right. And it's so scary.
I think it is.
They are afraid a lot of the time.
A lot of the time, because I have a friend right now, her mom has Alzheimer's, and sometimes she'll wake up and she'll say, I don't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she knows something is wrong, but she can't figure it out.
Right.
So you have to have patience with that because they're trying to figure this thing out too.
Right. And it's harder for them because, you know, it gets to a point where they can't even remember what.
Yeah. And it's really hard on them because now you're grown up and they know. Last time I recall, I was grown.
Right. I ain't forgot the fact that folks don't tell me what to do yet. Yeah. I know that I get to make my own decisions.
Yeah, you have to remember. You have to remember, okay, they were grown, and to an extent, they do remember that. And here you are telling them when to eat, sleep, and lay down.
Right, right, right.
You have to really pray on that and know how to do that to help them along. But one thing with my mother-in-law, I did was I tried to always remember that she did have her own house. She had her own kitchen. She loved to cook.